The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you. It is Wednesday morning, the 4th of March, 2020. We're here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551, and you can email ryan@rte.ie. Thank you to Oliver for minding the shop for a couple of days there. I appreciate it very much, and we're glad to be here all the way through the rest of the week and beyond until Friday week. We're going to be live in Limerick. The excitement is it's just wonderful because the demand for tickets is out the door, which is great. And we've been invited to, you know, different, whether it's bookshops or hotels or restaurants or, you know, museums, all the way along the road from Dublin to Limerick. And we're going to try and get as much as we can. I know we're going to talk to the students there next Wednesday, and we're going to go down a few days early and do the radio show from Limerick and make the most of our time there. So we will try, and by all means send us an email, ryan@rte.ie, if you want us to drop in and say hello, whether it's for a cup of coffee or cake with just uncomplicated food, if you don't mind, and just keep it nice and not to be ungrateful in advance of an invitation. Yeah. So what do we got for you today? We've got plenty to talk. Gosh, the place is alive with stories this morning. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, we welcome William and Kate to the city of Dublin, and they're heading out to Meath and to Kildare, I think, and certainly Galway then in the next couple of days. So they're going to have hopefully a great time, but they're more than welcome. There was a gathering at the Guinness Storehouse last night that I was very kindly invited to, but wasn't in a position to attend, which is a pity because I showed his grandmother, the Queen, around there a few years ago, and it would have been nice to make that connection again, but it wasn't to be. But they sound, by the looks of the pictures, they all had a blast last night. And Kate Middleton, I think she's got great style, and she has she's gone fully green for the trip. And why wouldn't she? As I say, she's not quite her grandmother, but the Queen did something similar too. And I was listening to a piece on the radio yesterday, I'm not sure which show it was on, but they were talking about the soft power of the royal visits, that, you know, that they come over and it's kind of feel good. I mean, there was a time when things were a little more fraught. Those times are behind us, I think, and it's just, there's nothing wrong. They seem like two pleasant people, come to say hello, shake the love. Everyone's very happy to see them, and they just seem like two good eggs, and they're welcome. It's as simple as that, and they look great and happy, and they're getting a good tour around the place, and the president looked after them, and the Taoiseach looked after them, and they will be heading off and, as I say, will be looked after around the country wherever they go. So on they go, and welcome aboard and welcome to the island, and I hope that you have a great time getting there. Also resplendent in green on the front of the Irish Examiner today is Sinead O'Connor, who is pictured with Bob Geldof at the Virgin Media Dublin International Film Festival premiere of Citizens of Boomtown, also an event I was very kindly invited to but couldn't attend last night at Cineworld in Dublin. So by all accounts, we're going to be able to watch that on the TV soon enough, and it would be, sounds like, certainly the trailer I've seen for it looks great. So hopefully that went well for all and sundry last night. So it's loads of stuff going on, and another sad Liverpool fans today. I see that in the papers this morning, but not to worry, there'll be other brighter days ahead, I've no doubt. And also good news for Irish talent, which we like to promote and protect. The Royal Television Society Programme Awards for 2020 were announced. The nominees were announced, and they'll be presented by, hosted by Paul Merton on Patrick's Day at the Grosvenor Hotel in London, which is very appropriate because of the amount of Irish interest in those awards. So, for example, in among the nominees for Best Actor Female, we have Niamh Alger, who's somebody I'm hoping to meet for the first time in the next week or two, possibly actually this Friday night, when I've up to speed on all that. I'll keep you posted. But she's in The Virtues, which was a very, very heavy but brilliant programme, and she's a rising star, and I'm delighted to see her getting a nomination. Aisling Bea, who was on with us at the beginning of the season, is nominated on the Breakthrough Award for This Way Up. And Saoirse Monica Jackson, who we had on the Late Late Show, one of the Derry girls, is nominated for Comedy Performance, female there. Alex Murphy and Chris Whalley, two also, another more alumni from the Late Late Show, as the Young Offenders got nominated for Best Comedy Performance for the males. and on it goes. Scripted comedy gets a nod for Derry Girls. So this is like this, the creative world is alive and well. And you know, when you think of Bob and Sinead there on the front of the Irish Examiner, and then the new up and coming talent like Alex Murphy, Chris Wally, Niamh Alger, Aisling Bea, Saoirse, Monica Jackson, and all of these people, you know, from generation, that's two different generations shining proudly on the world stage. And it's just great. It's a good news story. You know, we have coronavirus out of it, and rightly so, incidentally, although I was delighted to see Tony Holohan, isn't that right? He's the man in charge of telling us everything we need to know. I must say, I found him to be very impressive last night on the news, because he has a nice, clear, concise approach to it. And that's what we need now, is a level-headed, clear person to say, here's where it's at. And he's doing a good job. And he rightly pointed out to people, don't be going online, on social media, not online, don't go on social media to try and find out information, because honestly, as I said last week, everyone thinks they're an expert and really nobody knows anything. So ask the expert. That's where they go to study these things for 7 or 8 years and then come out and explain everything, because that's their job. Meanwhile, around the world, the coronavirus has turned the world's busiest cities into ghost towns. Rome, ghost town. Venice, empty. Piazza San Marco, empty. Milan, I heard that guy, the Irish fella, on with Sean yesterday, talking from Northern Italy. A very good, actually, great chatter. Talking about how the family are just cabin fevered out of it, and then going for cycles just to see if they can not meet anyone. I mean, it's like, what's that Will Smith film where he's wandering around New York and everywhere else? It's I Am Legend. I must watch that again, because that's what these cities are beginning to sound. This science fiction thing is, the Louvre is closed. They don't know when it's going to open again. In Thailand, the Grand Palace and all these other places got empty. The cherry blossoms of Japan are falling on empty streets because there's no one there to look at them. And in Disneyland, the parks across Asia certainly have closed temporarily, again in an effort to contain the virus. The Omega Man, another similar style story, with Charlton Heston running around and feeling that sense of eerie emptiness about the place. It's CNN, of course. Ireland and America have a different relationship with the English language, and that's why when I suppose you see the headline, Mickey finally has his own ride at Disney World, that'll make bold people at the back of the class roar laughing with giddiness. But in America, they're just saying that essentially at 91 years old, Mickey Mouse has waited a long time to finally get his own ride at Disney theme park, and he'll be delighted with that. it's Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which will open inside Disney's Hollywood Studios at the Walt Disney World Resort in Florida. I'm not giving it to you. No. Okay, what else and where else shall we go this morning? The Hollywood Reporter magazine tweeted about William Shatner, who says his days of playing Captain James Kirk are over. Well, he's about 200. You think they used the hashtag? Oh, right. The Hollywood Reporter said Shatner's not going to play Kirk anymore. And they used the hashtag Star Wars. Now, that's pretty stupid. I mean, of all the hashtags to mix up Star Wars. So Shatner retweeted the link saying, by the way, Hollywood Reporter, whomever is doing your tweets, fire them and make sure you check your hashtags before tweeting. Eye roll emoji, hashtag Star Trek. William Shatner was on with us on Tober D tonight, as was Once Upon a Time Patrick Stewart. So we've had Picard and Shatner, much to my delight. But Shatner was a delightful guest to have on because he's quite mad. And when I say mad, I mean he's goofy as hell. Leslie Nielsen was another one who was on that show from The Naked Gun. Another kind of mad look behind the eyes. But they're great people to meet because the world is full of quite boring people as well. And you just need mad people to offset the dull. And he is one of those people. In fact, he's coming to Dublin next week, William Shatner, because he's doing a live onstage Q&A quest after screening of Star Trek 2. Why did they pick that one? But they did. They decided, let's go with Star Trek 2, The Wrath of Khan, at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre on March the 10th. That would be a great night out. I think we're going to be in Limerick, sadly. But I would definitely be into that. And William Shatner is, as I say, very eminently, which is pretty good. Must mention, by the way, in passing, every time I see the WHO, the World Health Organization, coming on, there's one guy who has a very Greek name and a hell of a moustache, and he's guiding us through, and good glasses too, and he's guiding us through all the information. And then to the then he throws it to this other guy with a proper thick Irish accent, telling us about what's happening. And I haven't seen him on anything. I don't know if anyone's interviewed him yet. I'm sure they have, because the first thing you do is look him up and say, who's this guy? Dr. Mike Ryan, Executive Director of the WHO Health Emergency Programme. And he's on every day, beaming out to the world with his, again, smart analysis and well-delivered assessment of what's happening. So whoever Mike Ryan, Dr. Mike Ryan is, you're doing a great job too, flying the flag for us in a most intelligent way. As part of the WHO there. It's funny because all these guys that we've been seeing, they're all looking like they've been working around the clock. It's kind of possibly taking its toll on them, but it hasn't affected their job. They're doing extremely well, which is most impressive, to be honest with you. There's a piece of information just come before me. He's at the forefront of managing acute risks to global health for nearly 25 years. This is Dr. Mike Ryan. Served as Assistant Director General for Emergency Preparedness and Response in the Health Emergencies Programme. And blah, blah, blah. Senior Advisor on Polio Eradication. Well, he probably knows his history. Completed medical training at the National University of Ireland, Galway. How about that? And a Master's in Public Health at UCD. And specialist training in communicable disease control at the Health Protection Agency in London and the European Programme for Intervention Epidemiology Training. And so he has he knows his stuff. And he's extremely well qualified with interest. The GMIT, that's another college altogether in Galway, as you probably know. But I was driving on my couple of days off through around the west of Ireland, my beloved west of Ireland, which is alive and well and just actually quite stunning, and even more stunning when it's sleet as you're heading towards the 12 pins, and then it's glorious sunshine on the other side. You just never know. It's like microclimate onto itself. But did manage to, you probably saw the programme about the redress for the victims of state abuse in the last couple of nights. And I found myself on the recommendation of a friend of mine who lives in Clifton, and said you should check out the cemetery to the children at Letterfrack. Now, Letterfrack has tried very, very valiantly to try and, you know, reclaim its good name, and rightly so. They're tremendous people around there. You know, the Diamond Hill that you can climb there and go for a pint in Veldon's or wherever you might be, or down to the Ranville House Hotel, all places that would be very familiar to people around, visit Kylemore Abbey, whatever you want to do. But they also have that desperately sad legacy in behind the GMIT there. If you climb up a hill and weave your way around and very, very softly and gently find a little forest. And in the clearing of a forest is something I never knew existed until this week, and actually found to be deeply moving and desperately sad, which is a graveyard to children. That was a kind of heavy thing, but I wasn't going to talk about it until it just came up there. And that would be the... and there, it's just a tiny, not even a field, it's a stretch of land with the nameplates of up to maybe 100 children and their names and when they died. And so we'd have name of child died age 9, age 10, 12, 14, all these names, some peculiar names, some very Irish names. And it's a very sad, but I'm actually quite glad that it's there. But what it did put me in mind to then, when I saw that programme later on in the evening about the redress, is all those children who went through that system, came out the other side, some of them damaged, understandably, some of them just motoring on, but a remarkable generation to have. If survived that, I hope you get the kindness in life that you deserve, because you didn't get it. You did not get it in those halls, man. I know that, and it's something I'd like to come back to another time, but not quite today. But it's all food for thought, and something percolating in the head there. So we'll come back to you on that. Kate says, and happier news, 51551. Glad to hear all the good news regarding creativity in Ireland. Ryan, can you please also highlight that Dublin-based Grafton Architects? I know, sure, they were all over the papers yesterday. You don't need me to tell you, but I'll say it again. And they mentioned the Morning Ireland this morning, but I'll say it again, and rightly so. this wonderful architectural news led by Shelley McNamara and Yvonne Farrell were awarded the Pritzker Prize for Architecture yesterday, the most significant global award for architecture. Honestly, it's a massive deal, an amazing achievement. Huge congratulations to them and all the team at Grafton, and more good news to share. So we'll take all the good news that you have for us. So we'd be delighted to fly the flag and congratulate those of you who are achieving great things. I know that a lot of people achieve great things at a more local level, mightn't get the love they deserve, but just at that level, it's good to say it. As you probably know from the last couple of days, we are running a competition to send some of you and to Cheltenham next week. So we're very excited about it. I'll get to that a bit later on. Not just yet. We'll do it in due course, but not just yet. 51551 is the text number. Now, you probably heard, I don't know if you heard, but Genesis are getting back together. Genesis. How do we feel about that? Are we excited about Genesis, the return? So I said, do you want to play a song by Genesis? And the comment I heard back was, it's not a great song generally, but it's a great radio song. I mean, I think there's probably truth in that you can have a song that's grand in one context, but actually when you hear it on the radio, it's a different story altogether. So I'll play this because Phil and Tony and Mike, like I know who they are, obviously Phil Collins, Tony Banks, Mike Rutherford, all 69 as it happens, announce their comeback this morning, and big tour reunion. This is big news for Genesis fans. Peter Gabriel not going to be involved, apparently. But they hinted in their Twitter or whatever, Instagram. And then there were three. But yeah, enormously popular band. And therefore, I will start today musically like this. I enjoyed that now, he says with a faint whiff of surprise. But no, it's Genesis. And they're going to be touring. A lot of excitement around the place upstairs. I noticed at the announcement last week that Pet Shop Boys are going to be playing the Marquee in Cork. That's a good call. And I see Tom Jones coming back for another go. So he's playing the Marquee in Cork and then back again in Donnybrook in July. So if you don't catch him one way, you'll get him the other. I'm telling you, lads, this is the big one, the Tom Jones. 80 years old. We will not see the likes of him again. And his voice is it's in impeccable condition. Saw him last summer in Bristol. It's a knockout. That's money well spent, is what I'm saying to you. Don't be not be going to be going to that to see Tom Jones. Thanks for the call out to our own Dr. Mike Ryan, says Magella, an NUIG classmate working away for all our protection with the WHO and only occasionally in the headlines when unfortunately the news is bad. Well done to Mike. Proud to have an Irishman so committed. That's what I was thinking. So I'm thrilled that you feel the same way. And Mary Costello was on to say, a bit of information for you on Dr. Michael Ryan. He's from Charlestown, County Mayo. Oh, everyone wants a piece of the pie now, and rightly so. Where his very proud mother still lives. Oh, well, good morning to Mrs. Ryan. We as a community are extremely proud of Michael and his achievements in the medical world. Well, why wouldn't you be? I love to hear that. That's tremendous. On the graveyard and letter Friday, I see a lot of interest in that. And I'm glad to hear that because I think there's nothing wrong with remembering a story like that and those little lives. No matter how long ago it is, it just shouldn't be forgotten. I remember being at the funeral of that poor man who died in London, and he was buried in Glasthule, and we marked it with the parting glass on the Late Late Show that day. And I remember leaving the church, and I was approached by about, I'd say, seven or nine people who had been through the industrial school system. And they really took me aside and I could see it in their eyes. They said, "Would you please don't forget us, you know, in what you do. You have a voice." And, you know, they were remembering Joseph Toohey because they had known that he had been, you know, in trouble himself. And they said, "Don't forget us." And I said, "Look, I won't. I don't know what I can. I didn't know what I could say or do. But I knew that there'd be a time when I could be of some assistance to them because they all feel quite forgotten." And the redress program, which was excellent, by the way, reminded us that they deserved a lot more than they got in terms of recognition for what had happened. So anyway, I digress a little bit, but I see Tara was on to say that she went to that cemetery in Letterfrack 20 years ago, and I still cry when I think of it. It's very moving. It's very stark. It's very dark. And, you know, I'm kind of 1 minute celebrating the country, and rightly so, but also reminding ourselves. And I'm not going to lie to you, I also went to the Strokestown Family Museum in the few days I was off, because it is a remarkable piece of our country's history. And God, the things that were said. If you look up Trevelyan and Ireland, and if you don't come away pretty angry, the things that were said. But nevertheless, I'm not going to do the famine conversation now. There's too much going on. But a text says, the industrial school saga is the Irish Holocaust and should never be forgotten. I think the famine is the Irish Holocaust, actually. A million dead on the land and a million emigrated. But that's not to take away from the awfulness of that story. So I do understand where you're coming from. Another says, my father was in Letterfraxes, Francis in Kildare, for 4 years for robbing an orchard, like so many of them, robbing an orchard. My sister and I went to visit the graveyard every year, and we sit there and we cry. That's exactly what you would do if you ever saw it. Okay, on a lighter note, just didn't want to take to some of these so that we're not there all the time. Genesis went downhill after Peter Gabriel quit the band in 1975. See, if you're Genesis head, you'd have quite strong feelings about this. Genesis says Tom without Peter Gabriel is like the Beatles without Paul McCartney. Although I notice you say call him Paul McCartney. Now, lads, now I might have been a type, you know, the way the thumbs, and I wouldn't be correcting you, but just, it's funny. I love your show, Brian. I watch you every Saturday night. When Genesis first appeared in, I get that all the time. Come here, Brian. Any chance of a selfie as they hand the phone to somebody else? That's not a selfie. When Genesis first appeared in, I'm going to take a break. I've got a guest waiting. Stop it.